Window World, the official windows of the Kansas City Chiefs, presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, online at windowskansascity.com.
And just like that, the Kansas Jayhawks become the favorite to win the NCAA tournament after a first weekend where we will discuss winners and losers in March Madness and why the Kansas Jayhawks have served notice that they are at this moment, which guarantees you nothing, promises nothing. We know what this tournament is. The Kansas Jayhawks indeed are the team to beat right now. Hello again, everyone. Thanks for joining us here on Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. We're going to be sports heavy early in this podcast. A lot to discuss with new head coaches at Kansas State and at Missouri. And of course, Kansas moving on to the Sweet 16, where they will take on Providence on Friday. So much to discuss. We'll do winners and losers, talk about the matchup with Providence, and then get into the coaching searches. Let's not waste any time. The Jayhawks have had their bracket become brilliant, basically. The top seed left that they would have to face is Providence on Friday night. Beyond that, it's the 10 seed Miami, the 11 seed Iowa State. We know that Kansas is considerably better than Iowa State. Miami, while playing well, representing the ACC, another conference that's doing well, like the Big 12, had a wonderful weekend. You can't take anything away from the way they played. They looked terrific, and Providence certainly was game. The Big East champs looked very, very good in their two appearances, including a 28-point win over Richmond, where Providence shot 52% from the field. They were 12 of 22 from three, and they held overmatched Richmond to 51 points in this game, winning at 79-51. So certainly Providence looks like they have done their part, and they're going to be excited with a chance to play Kansas. Kansas has the benefit of several days to get ready for a Providence team here. They won't have to put much work in on Iowa State. We know that. So really two teams for Bill Self and his staff to focus in on this week. That is Providence and Miami. They can go back to their Iowa State playbook should they play Iowa State in the Elite Eight. And Kansas is my top winner of the first weekend of the tournament for a wide variety of reasons. One has to do with our top loser, which we'll get to in a moment, and that is all three other number one seeds. They all have problems at this point that Kansas doesn't. For many Kansas fans, and I heard this repeatedly, I was at a watch party on Saturday with, it was almost all KU fans. And I tell you what, man, the complaining about the way your team plays while winning in the NCAA tournament is one of the single most annoying things for anyone to put up with that isn't a fan of a team. I don't get it. The Chiefs fans are getting close on this. You know, the Chiefs will go out and win 27-23 and complain that Mahomes only threw for 228 and there was a drop pass by Tyreek Hill or this could have happened and we could have scored 41. And it'll be like, yeah, but at what point in the fourth quarter were the Chiefs behind? And the answer was never. And this game, while Creighton was very good, they were a puncher that punched up in weight class. There's a couple of those teams in the tournament. Creighton had played well down the stretch. They beat Providence, by the way. They pounded Providence just a week and a half ago. Creighton did. So you can almost make an argument that Creighton is or was playing better than Providence. And yes, Creighton made a bunch of threes in this game, and it wasn't sustainable. And they eventually, I mean, they started so hot from three, they could never sustain that. And it wasn't like they didn't keep making threes. They made some, but their percentage cooled off. Kansas got the lead in the game. Didn't quite put them away. Had a chance at one point with the ball to go up double digits, 11 points with, I don't know what was left, 6 or 8 minutes left. They had a chance to go up 11 and probably put them away at that point. And KU turned it over, didn't get a good shot off. They made a poor play. Then Creighton came down and scored. And yes, the game was exciting. Yes, it was interesting. For most non-Kansas fans, if Kansas isn't your, like, you're living and dying with every shot, and that's most people in the country that were watching this, most people around the country, it was a standalone game. There was no three channels going on. It was, if you're watching basketball on Saturday, you were watching Kansas and Creighton. For almost everyone in America watching, nobody thought Creighton was going to win that game. Nobody. Now, I know the Jayhawk fans, in their defense, when it's your team and it's the end of your season on the line and you've seen teams shoot threes and knock you out before, you get nervous, you get scared. My wife bites her nails. She screams at the TV. She gets mad at players. It's intense. I totally get it. I completely and totally get it. But trust me, Kansas played way better than you're giving them credit for. Creighton is good, was good. Kansas won. Most people watching that game never for a moment thought Creighton was winning that game. They thought, well, this is fun. This is interesting. Something really strange could happen here. The ball could bounce funny. KU could do something stupid. But the funny things that happened were KU steal the ball, go down, lay it in, get a basket, build the lead, and win the game. That's what Kansas does. Creighton was pretty good in close games this year. I think they said they were 5-1 or 6-1 in games 3 points or less. So they were good in close games too. It's a sign of good coaches, solid programs, teams that know what they're doing. This was a much better win for Kansas than any Kansas fan wants to give them credit for. That is a real basketball team with real players and a real coach. And while they have a bunch of new players that had not really been in the NCAA tournament before, it doesn't matter. It's what your program is. Creighton's legit. We talked about how, and I was adamant about this, I wanted San Diego State, you know, to advance. I thought that would be a much better matchup for Kansas, and they would have won that game easily. You knew Creighton was going to throw punches. You just knew it. And when the seeding came out last week and I saw that, I said, look, I don't hate KU's bracket, but I don't want to face Creighton in the second game if I'm a Jayhawk. I just didn't think that was going to be a great situation because I figured Creighton would play and play you hard. That's a good program and a good team. And give Kansas more credit for playing well and getting the win. They deserve it. They are, without a doubt, the Kansas Jayhawks are the top winner of the first weekend of the tournament. They played well in both games. And many people will not give them credit for playing well in a game against Creighton that was close. That was a real game. It may actually, Providence may be easier than that. I mean, Creighton just worked Providence over 10 days ago. Just worked them. So I like Kansas setup at this point. They're the one seed. They've got a game against a four seed. If they win that one, they face a 10 or an 11. So you have to love that. And they played well in getting their wins. The second big winner of the weekend, we're going to do two winners and two losers here. The second big winner is North Carolina. The second big winner is North Carolina because they bounced Baylor and they won the game twice. We talk about how hard it is to win a game twice. We went to this KU watch party at a sports bar with an outdoor patio on Saturday. And when we arrived, it was 67-42 North Carolina. We walked in, I looked up, I go, oh boy. Waiting for it to end, the KU game's going to start. We had to get there a little bit early, get some seats, right? The game goes to overtime. It was insane. Absolutely insane that Baylor came back and got that game to overtime. But then North Carolina won it again. They jumped on Baylor. They got the lead, and they never let go in overtime. Baylor was out of gas, whatever. I don't know. Maybe North Carolina just flat regrouped. But an outstanding start to the tournament for North Carolina. Most people don't know this. North Carolina was 12-2. In their last 14 ACC games, including winning at Duke, then they won their first two in the ACC tournament, which made them 14-2 over a long stretch in the ACC. The ACC has three teams left, folks. And Carolina's games that they were winning, they only had one of those wins was by less than 8 points. Pretty remarkable stuff. I mean, they played great. Most people saw them play Virginia Tech in the ACC title game, and they were a disaster. Was like they did. They were out of gas, didn't show up, something. They just got punked by Virginia Tech. But they went out this weekend and played two phenomenal games and punched Baylor right out of the tournament. I don't know what North Carolina is. I'm not an expert. What I know is they played great the last 6 weeks of the season. There's nothing fluky about going 14-2 over a long period of time in that conference. That's not being fluky, and most of their games were big wins. Big double-digit wins, and now they've knocked Baylor out, which is no slouch. Baylor isn't what Baylor was last year. We all know that. But North Carolina was the better team all day. We clearly saw them panic the last 5 minutes of regulation, right? But they got it back together, and they win the game in overtime. So the second biggest winner is North Carolina, and they have left in their bracket UCLA, Purdue, and St. Peter's. I think Purdue's the best team there. Purdue got a nice win last night. They look good. They got a big guy that can score, clog the middle. They got pieces. You always look for teams in this tournament that have every piece. So when I talk about Kansas, I'm like, look at Remy Martin. He just carried him in the first half of that game against Creighton. Remy Martin back is a big deal. He's got the ball in his hands. He can score while Ochai's over there laying bricks in the first half. Remy Martin's picking him up. You got pieces. You have different things. You got a big man in the middle of McCormick. You got guys that can play the wing. You got Brown that can do so many different things. Kansas is a complete basketball team. Those are the teams I look for. Purdue has some of that. Maybe Purdue's the best team in that region now. I don't know. All I know is North Carolina has their hairs on fire. With the exception of that Virginia Tech game, they have simply been outstanding. That's going to be really easy. So fun to watch. I think they're the second biggest winner of weekend one. You want to give it to St. Peter's because of the story that they are. You want to do that. But I'm looking at it from a perspective of who can get to the Final Four, and St. Peter's is not going to the Final Four. They're not. There's no way they're getting past, you know, Purdue, UCLA, North Carolina. It's not going to happen. St. Peter's isn't going to do that. So my prism of winners and losers here is which teams get to the Final Four, which teams have a chance to win it all. Because to me, that's what the tournament is all about. The biggest losers to me were the number one seeds, other than Kansas. And you may say, well, wait a second. The other two number ones are still alive. They are. But if we want to look at what they did, if we want to be honest about the way they're playing, they don't look like Kansas right now. And Kansas was the third favorite in the field of 68 behind Gonzaga, then Arizona, then Kansas. To me, that's flipped around. It now has to be Kansas, Gonzaga, Arizona, 1, 2, and 3. That's the way you'd have to look at it. If you're being honest about what you're watching and what you're seeing, Baylor loses, so they're out. Obviously a big loser for number one. Arizona needed overtime on Sunday night and basically a miracle. Arizona is down 3 with 13 seconds left to TCU, for crying out loud. TCU played its way into the tournament in the last week of the season. We know what TCU is. They're well coached. They're a nice team. They're smart kids. They shouldn't be messing with number one seeds. Yes, they beat Kansas. That game was in Fort Worth. No, they didn't beat Kansas in Lawrence. No, they didn't beat Kansas in Kansas City. They had a 3-point lead on Arizona with 13 seconds left last night when the Wildcats hit a 3-pointer to tie the game. Oh, my gosh. I love fouling. I hate giving up the 3-point shot. But TCU did. The rule with the coaches is usually like 7 seconds or less is when you foul. Not with 13 left. They got the shot off. They tie the game. TCU turns the ball over. The game goes to overtime, and Arizona wins. Less than impressive isn't even a word here to use for Arizona. I mean, they were okay. They got where they're supposed to be, but they don't look like some big bully badass one seed. And neither does Gonzaga, which we pointed out in January. It looked like it was Gonzaga and everyone else, and now it doesn't. Now they look disinterested. Their first halves have been a disaster. They've needed two miracles to come back and win and be alive in this tournament. I don't think Gonzaga is any kind of a big winner from the first weekend. They're alive. If they don't figure it out, they're done. They start playing better teams, they're cooked. You can't fall behind double digits in the first half of these games, regroup at halftime and say, well, we're just so good, we'll flip the switch now and go win. That ends starting right now. Now, can Gonzaga play 40 minutes? I've seen them do it. Sure, they can. They got a great player in Timmy. They've got complimentary pieces. They've got a good coach. They just don't look right, folks. They don't. They look sloppy and disinterested and most of the time completely and utterly uninterested in playing any defense. None whatsoever. We'll just let you score. Give us the ball. You score. Give us the ball. Go ahead and put it in. Give us the ball. It's a strange look. They are alive, barely, after two really disappointing performances and then remarkable comebacks. But the one seeds were pretty big losers. The loser category is one seeds other than Kansas were pretty big losers the first weekend of the tournament. The other big losers, the Southeastern Conference, they have the marquee loss. That's Kentucky losing to St. Peter's. And Auburn and Tennessee were just complete and utter flops. I've got a buddy that was at the KU watch party on Saturday, and he wanted to make a bet. He wanted to bet me $100 that Auburn would go farther than Kansas. And I was like, well, I'm all over that, but I don't want to steal your money. I feel bad stealing your money. That's ridiculous. We're sitting there watching Kansas as one. Like, first of all, just the odds. Your team has to go play tomorrow. Kansas has already won. I said, it's not a fair bet. I don't want to steal your money. And he insisted. So I don't know whether we have a bet or not. I declined it, but he insisted that we have it. So I don't. I'm not collecting. It doesn't make any difference. Auburn was just a disaster. Awful 2-seed. Terrible 2-seed. Tennessee is a 3-seed. Flop, 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 flop. I mean, seriously, you couldn't be all. Look, and I love the SEC, and we know what they are in football, and it just means more, and all these other things we hear. Michigan is an also-ran bubble team from the Big Ten, and yes, they played well in both their games. They just shouldn't be beating a 3-seed. And Tennessee had, I mean, they had a lead. They had chances to put them away, the whole thing, and Tennessee doesn't get any of that done. And then they just completely fizzle at the end of that game against Michigan and fall apart. So the SEC has egg on its face. No question about it. The teams that they were losing to just should not be happening. But it did happen. So they lost to, what, a 10 seed? The 2 lost to a 10. The 3 lost to an 11. And Kentucky was a 2 and lost to a 15. So the studs of the SECs lost to 2s. They lost to 10s, 11s, and a 15. That's a disaster for the SEC. They got one team left. It's Arkansas. Arkansas is a nice basketball team. Everyone agrees. We've watched them play all year. They're a nice team. They shouldn't be the flag bearer for the SEC. They should not be that. The cringeworthy moment of the weekend, first weekend of the tournament, came from CNN's Rex Chapman. Remember Rex Chapman? He played for Kentucky. He played in the NBA. He is a convicted thief and a drug addict. Recovering drug addict who lost all of his millions that he made on drugs and started stealing money from stores, became a thief to pay for his drug habit. You remember Rex Chapman, right? Rex Chapman then put some bizarre stuff on Twitter, and somehow, because he's such a strange guy, such a ridiculously strange guy, the stuff he's putting on Twitter, he gets a bunch of followers. I thought some of it was kind of out of pity. I don't really know. But CNN Plus is on board, and all of a sudden CNN Plus out of nowhere decides they're going to hire Rex Chapman to be on CNN Plus. Well, since he's hired to be on CNN Plus and they own the Turner broadcast rights for the NCAA tournament, hey, he was a basketball player. Let's put him on the set and let him talk about basketball. So he starts talking about KU's opponent, Providence, and how, boy, it's been a long time since they were good when they had God, Sham God, or whatever, and he starts talking about Providence. And Pete Gillen, their former coach, it's been since Pete Gillen was there that were any good. Pete Gillen, rest in peace. God rest his soul. Except Pete Gillen is still alive. Rex Chapman of CNN Plus on Turner Sports proclaimed Pete Gillen, the former coach at Providence, to be 6 feet under. And he's not. I don't know how Rex Chapman has a broadcasting job. I don't get it. Now, you know what this podcast is all about. Rex Chapman is a flaming psycho-liberal. I mean, he is out there. And that's what got him somewhat famous on social media. It clearly is why CNN Plus hired him to do some bizarre stuff on their streaming service. Rex Chapman is an odd duck. And odd, liberal, wacky ducks sometimes do really stupid things. And boy, did we get it this weekend when he proclaimed Pete Gillen to be dead. He's had to apologize. He's not going to lose his job. Come on. It's not like he's some conservative on there making a mistake. Rex Chapman will be just fine. He's part of the cult. He is all good. Look him up. Go read his story, man. It's a tragic, tragic story. This guy's life's been a mess. I'm about second chances. If he's clean and not hurting anyone and working and doing good things, I'm all for him. I just don't know how anybody could watch him, listen to him, look at him or whatever and say, oh, there's a guy that should be on network broadcasting. I just can't even believe it. The cringeworthy moment of the weekend coming from a CNN Plus broadcaster named Rex Chapman talking about KU's opponent, Providence, coming up on Friday night. Standings look like this. One team from the SEC, three from the Big 12. We have KU, Texas Tech, and Iowa State. The ACC has three. Duke, North Carolina, and Miami. No jinx. No nothing. I don't have that power. A lot of you send me these emails all the time. If I'm picking a winner of this tournament right now, Kansas is the favorite. What becomes problematic for Kansas, in my estimation, is if Arizona advances to the Final Four and Gonzaga advances to the Final Four. It is because I will hold out the possibility that Arizona and Gonzaga had bad first weekends but survived. Sometimes teams that have bad weekends like that and survive really get the wake-up call and turn it up because they see who they're playing. But to be honest, Houston looks like a better team to me than Arizona. Houston's playing Arizona, and they look better. It looks to me like Houston and Nova are on a collision course. Nova looked terrific. I think a good team will come out of there. I don't think Michigan's going to advance to the Final Four. If you're a Kansas fan, you want Michigan to win two games. But any of the other three are unbelievably worthy opponents against Kansas. Houston looks like they can go toe-to-toe and beat KU. Nova looks like they can do it, and maybe Arizona if they play better. The other side, you don't want Gonzaga to keep winning because they'll gain momentum and confidence, and that we know that they're talented. You don't want them coming out of there. You'd much rather play Duke, Texas Tech, or Arkansas. You just would. Duke's overrated in my mind. A lot of people think they're really good. I don't think they're Final Four material, although I guess it would be a great story. In the East, Purdue looks like the best team to me. If I were picking one to come out of there and make the Final Four right now, it would be Purdue. But I don't discount North Carolina at all because their A game is ridiculous. North Carolina's A game is ridiculous. KKHI is brought to you by a new sponsor we want to welcome, GreatLifeKC.com. Great Life is a golf and fitness membership club all over Kansas City. They have the classic membership with six courses for one low price from Leavenworth to Blue Springs for individuals or families. You can't believe how affordable this can be. To become a classic member, log on to GreatLifeKC.com or call 913-802-4552. It's golf and fitness season, and Great Life KC is there for you. The Signature Clubs is a really neat collection of courses. Canyon Farms and Falcon Ridge, where I play, Prairie Highlands, Staley Farms. They also have Tallgrass Club in Wichita. You can join any of the Signature Clubs for one low monthly fee by calling 913-802-4552. Canyon Farms and Falcon Ridge are essentially sold out. There's about five memberships left at each. That's it. They're really close to full. If you want to join Canyon Farms or Falcon Ridge, you really should call quickly. It is unbelievable. The Canyon Farms pool and clubhouse and the restaurant that's open to the public and the golf course are phenomenal. We spent some time there on Sunday afternoon. We played nine holes. It is just beautiful. You'll love it. And I'm not kidding. There literally is only room for about five more members if you want to join Canyon or Falcon this year. 913-802-4552 or log on to GreatLifeKC.com. They're just terrific. You can also send an email to just join@GreatLifeGolf.com. That's join@GreatLifeGolf.com. Say, look, I want to look into playing Staley this year, or the six courses in Kansas City from Leavenworth to Bruce Springs, all for one price. Just send an email. For information, join@GreatLifeGolf.com. Welcome aboard. Appreciate Great Life for being here. BeStock.net, they've got 50-inch Vizio Quantum 4K LED TVs right now, the UHD Smart TV, $399 in store, $399. The best price you're going to find anywhere else is $499, but good luck with that. That's a super sale somewhere else. $399 in store, 14680 South Flaming Road in Olathe. It's the Vizio 50-inch 4K LED UHD, just $399. We thank BeStock for hooking us up with our AmazingGarageFloors.net promotion of the Amazing Garage Floor Madness. Log on to AmazingGarageFloors.net/KKHI and sign up to win a $6,000 garage makeover courtesy of Amazing Garage Floors and BannerGarageKC.com. They're going to do a wall hanging system for you. Really cool stuff. BannerGarageKC.com. And, of course, you might want to park your new car in that garage from Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC. Have you seen the ads during the March Madness with the new Hummer? If only LeBron James wasn't sitting in it. Now, some of the commercials, there was no LeBron, and some there were. I'm like, I so badly wanted to text Mike Robinson this weekend and say, Mike, I got to have that car. Now, I don't know how much it costs. It's probably really expensive and out of my price range. But I looked at that new Hummer and went, that's it. That's the one. If I'm going electric, That's the one, baby. That thing looks incredible. It does that little crab walk thing, which I don't need because I know how to parallel park, but that's okay. That thing looks cool, man. You interested in a Hummer? Order it up right through Roberts Robinson. They'll get right online with you, show you every option, and they'll have it built for you. RobertsRobinson.com. Shop, click, and drive with GMC. We are professional grade. All right, new coaches at Kansas State and Missouri. No official announcements, I guess, yet from either. So we'll just take them in order here. I think the K-State story is the bigger news because they blew it with Brad Underwood. They hired Jerome Tang, 19 years, never been a head coach except for high school in Texas. This can work. The odds are against it working. This is like the Minnesota Vikings hiring Eric Bieniemy. Would you, if you're a K-State fan, you're listening and you're mad at me now, just get mad and get over yourself. If the Minnesota Vikings had hired Eric Bieniemy this offseason to be their new coach, would you have been excited for them that that division is now theirs? That here they go. Here go the Vikings. They got Eric Bieniemy. Career assistant, been passed up a million times before, never been a head coach. Would you be excited for the Minnesota Vikings if they got Eric Bieniemy? Your answer is no. Let me answer the question for you. You would not have been excited about that. But that's not what college athletics is, so every K-State fan loves the hire. Every single person that's a K-State fan that loves this hire wanted Brad Underwood. So understand, fan is short for fanatic. You're going to buy in. This can work. It probably won't work. Okay? So K-State didn't do anything bold here, unless you consider taking a long shot on a 19-year career assistant who's only had one job, one college job. This is the only college job he's ever had. That's it. It's the only college job he's ever had. Maybe that's bold in that they're taking the chance here. I don't know. The former athletic directors, Gene Taylor, made this hire. Tim Weiser hired Hall of Famer and Final Four coach Bob Huggins. John Curry hired Final Four coach and Big Ten three-time coach of the year in the conferences he's been in before, Bruce Weber. So Kansas State has a history here of hiring Final Four coaches from other schools, and they go with Jerome Tang. Sorry if that leaves a bitter Tang taste in the mouth, but that's just being honest. Look, this was never going to happen at K-State. They were never going to be bold and get Brad Underwood. And all the K-State fans thought they would. And now, this was so predictable. We had all the money in place. Everything was there. The donors had it all lined up. It was all good. And Brad Underwood said K-State's his dream job, but this is on Brad Underwood. He didn't want it. Yes, Brad Underwood's the bad guy. If you want to live in La La Land and think that Kansas State was going to pay $1.5 million more to their basketball coach than their football coach, I can't help you. You are blinded with purple blinders. You don't understand college athletics. You don't know how this stuff works. They weren't getting Brad Underwood unless he was willing to take a pay cut. So you can get mad at Brad Underwood privately because they won't say that. They're all saying now, oh, we want a Jerome Tang anyway, because that's what fans say. We want a Jerome Tang. We didn't want Brad Underwood. Okay. It was all there. Brad lied. Brad's a liar. Brad's a traitor. He's a liar. He's a bad guy. You're not trading in your $4 million job for a $2.5 million job. And all these people run around, oh, I've talked to a friend who knows a guy, and they had this money. They were going to raise $18 million. They were going to buy Brad out. They were going to give the football coach a raise, and the women's basketball coach was going to get a raise. They were going to raise them all to where it all made sense. No, you don't do that for men's basketball at K-State. You're going into a new conference. You don't know what the finances are going forward. And for God's sake, in Manhattan, Kansas, you do everything to sustain the football program. You couldn't do it. You couldn't do it from the start. I said it on this podcast. They are not paying their basketball coach more than their football coach. They're not. And that's the only way you get Brad Underwood. I even told you the man's cheap. I know the guy. I've known him for decades. And I don't mean it in a bad way. I just mean money matters. Does he love coaching basketball? Yes. Did he coach it for very little money at the junior college level 15 years ago? Yes, he did. But when you get there, the money is a big deal. You've worked your whole life for it. You're setting up generations of your family. Generational money. Seriously, it matters. Coaching your alma mater would be fun, but not for $2 million less a year. The K-State wasn't going to do this. Gene Taylor was never going to do this. Look, he hired a football coach that was his buddy from North Dakota State. He wasn't going bold. Gene Taylor is not bold. Can it work? Yes. Will it? Probably not. Gene Taylor gladly took no for an answer and then botched the timing in a tremendously bad way. He allowed Illinois to lose their game. 3 hours later, I tweet out from my sources that Brad Underwood has told him no, that he's out. It is not Brad Underwood. He's not coming. And an hour later after that, there's a report out that it's Jerome Tang. The whole thing looked terrible for Gene Taylor. And every K-State fan can justify this. Oh, he was talking to him on Saturday. Well, of course he was. He was talking to Plan B. The bottom line is Brad Underwood wasn't out until after they played their last game, which means there's one last phone call. Okay, your season's over. If you think Illinois would have won yesterday and Jerome Tang was going to get hired, that was not going to happen, folks. Were they there talking to Tang? Did they have him ready to go? Yes. But they didn't do it until Underwood lost and said no again. And Gene Taylor gladly took no for an answer. They didn't try very hard. It only took one little no after losing, and that was that. The timing looked dreadful for Kansas State on this one. But listen, if that's their number two guy, that's their number two guy. There are coaches out there that have won at the highest level that could have been hired. Greg Marshall is out there. Sean Miller, I think, still has some punishment attached to him, probably. I haven't looked it up, but probably. But there are others out there. And this popular thing of, we're all going to go hire assistants because look at Texas Tech this year and look at North Carolina. Like, okay, North Carolina, we're going to compare a K-State hire to North Carolina. Don't get me started with the players he inherited, okay? And Texas Tech's roster is filled with players recruited off their Final Four, their national championship game appearance. That's what Texas Tech is filled with. And he was there on that bench working with and recruiting those players. That ain't what this is, okay? So don't tell me about how the assistants are doing great this year in the tournament in their first years. It's a ridiculous argument. There is no comparison between North Carolina, Texas Tech, and the K-State job. None. Zero. Sorry. This can work. The guy may be a great coach. He may be a great recruiter. I'm open to that possibility, and I'm 100% going to give him a chance. I don't just throw hires away and say this can't work. That's not who and what I am. So I'm not doing that here. This can work. The odds say it won't. That's the percentage. Missouri's going with Dennis Gates, not Kim English. Some Missouri fans wanted Kim English, the George Mason coach. The new athletic director, Desiree Reed Francois, that's her first hire. And she didn't feel the tug of going old Mizzou here from the Mizzou tree. She didn't feel that tug because they could have gotten Kim English. They go with Dennis Gates from Cleveland State, who just won a couple of conference titles back-to-back. They did not win their tournament this year, so they didn't make the NCAA tournament. Dennis Gates is 42 years old. He's a young, up-and-coming coach from Leonard Hamilton's staff, a legendary Hall of Fame caliber coach. He's got an outgoing personality. He built Cleveland State through the transfer portal, which is a big thing. We always talk about recruiting. You know, when we talk about recruiting, we're always talking about the blue chip, 18-year-old kid in high school, let's go sign up and go get that. We're finding programs all over the country succeeding through transfer portal. Iowa State was largely rebuilt this year through the transfer portal, and they're still playing in the Sweet 16. So that is a very big deal. And this young guy has done incredibly well at Cleveland State, bringing transfers in and winning his conference. That's what Mizzou wants to see. That's what they're looking for. That's what they're craving is, you know, you're not looking for a five-year turnaround here with these coaches. You're looking for a quick fix. Go sign a couple high school kids. Go get you a couple transfers. Let's go win some games next year. That's what the game is now. That's what Iowa State did, and they're still playing. Everybody knows it can be done, and that's where the pressure is. And it looks like Dennis Gates is that guy. And to be honest, same thing with Tang. I'm not disparaging Tang here, who's much older than Dennis Gates. They both look like really nice guys that you'd want to play for. Quality men. We know Tang is. You know, we know he's deeply religious. He coached at a Christian school. He's been at Baylor. At that school, he's an outstanding man. These are both fine. It looks like they're great men. So maybe they'll do great in recruiting. I like the Dennis Gates hire. There's two things. I like the upside of Gates higher than Tang for Missouri. The downside is this. If Gates is successful at Missouri, he's so young, he would likely take a better job. I think there's a chance that if Jerome Tang at age 55 succeeds at Kansas State, he remembers they're the school that hired him, and it's the only place he coaches. If Jerome Tang is successful, I could see him being there 15 years and saying, this is my place, because it's what Scott Drew did. Scott Drew could have gone a million places other than Baylor while they were building that program the last 19 years. So I think Gene Taylor's looking at this like, wow, if Tang works out, I may have a guy for a long time. I agree with that. But I do like Dennis Gates' chances of winning faster than Jerome Tang. Although Tang's got a couple of great players at K-State, he's got a backcourt. If he could just find a big guy that can catch a pass, he might have something next year. Because K-State's got a really good backcourt. I think he will keep Nigel Pack and Marquise Noel there. I think they will stay with this coach. I think those players will look at this and go, yeah, we'll stay here with this guy. Interesting hires by those two schools. And our final sports note, Jackson Coar pitched two innings for the Royals on Sunday, gave up three hits and an earned run, but did have four strikeouts. Emmanuel Rivera, a backup third baseman who won't make the team, was 2-for-3 with four RBIs. Royals are working their starters in slowly in spring training, but it is on, and I think that's fun. It's always on at your business if you work with 360 Document Solutions. Mark Lindquist and his team will help you become more productive and more profitable with mailing systems, phone systems, IT solutions, outsourcing ITs, copiers, printers, you name it, Mark has it. He's an expert in this field. He's been doing this for a long, long time. Basically, Mark's a winner. You want to be on his team and you want him to help you. Call him at 913-745-5344 or online at 360documentsolutions.com. Teague Tractor and Farm, along with Finch Knife Company, a grand opening sales event, April 2nd, KKHI will be there. We're going to be handing out T-shirts. 9 to 2 is the one-day, five-hour sale. Bobcat and Bad Boy Mowers, Husqvarna Equipment, Louisiana Pellet Grills, Massey Ferguson Tractors, fleet deals on commercial mowers, giveaways, raffles, live music, food, and drink. Teague Tractor in Belton, April 2nd, 9 to 2. We'll be set up with our friends Spencer and Steve from Finch Knife Company. You can see their full lineup there from finchknifeco.com. Fry Orthodontics with 12 locations for your convenience. Dr. Jeremy got to be real happy about his Carolina Tar Heels right now, advancing to the Sweet 16. Heck, I don't know. Call him up and ask him for another discount, right? We did a Father's Day special last year where they did $500 off any treatment for Father's Day. I dare you. If you're thinking about doing this with braces or Invisalign, call up and ask him for the North Carolina Tar Heel $500 discount. See if you can get that. Oh boy, am I in trouble with Jeremy right now. We have not talked about this in any way, shape, or form. He did it for Father's Day last year. Why wouldn't he do it for North Carolina? Ask for the UNC discount at Fry Orthodontics. Online at fryorthodontics.com, where your smile is just the start. Merriam Body Shop. Online at merriambodyshop.com. Spring is the time to detail your car. Complete custom detailing with a ceramic coating that makes your car shine and look better than showroom new, and that is legit. 913-362-1198. Remember the website if you ever get in a fender bender or if you want to get your car really cleaned up. This is also a great gift for your spouse, your girlfriend, your mom, whoever. MerriamBodyShop.com. Beautiful, beautiful stuff. All right, in the news, we've got Fauci finding. Did you notice with Anthony Fauci that, I mean, this was crazy. With Anthony Fauci, they called him out that he disappeared. The COVID was over, he disappeared. So what'd the media do? They threw him a life jacket. They just threw him a life jacket. Here you go. The media went and said, they called him up and said, oh, the conservatives are saying he's disappeared. COVID's over. Let's get him on TV. So he started doing a series of interviews for no reason other than the liberal media invited him on. And now he says, well, we have possible lockdowns coming. If COVID has a new variation and comes back, we're going to have trouble with this. And I just asked myself, what is wrong with these people? Like, you point out happy news to America. COVID's over. Nobody's in an ICU. Nothing's locked down. Fauci's disappeared. These are all good things. And the people in the media on the left go, oh, Fauci's disappeared. We can't let that happen. We know there's a war going on. But we have to make Fauci reappear. We have to put him out there. And he gladly does. It's just total collusion between the media and the liberal federal government, the deep state. That's it. It's total collusion. There's nothing else. They are making a big mistake. This started over the weekend. I don't know if you saw it. They're all, you know how the libs all parrot the same line over and over and over? They all, you know, you can find 15 different people who say the same thing. It's like they have this long email list they blast out and go, okay, next few days, here's the term we want to use. Okay, this didn't poll well. Biden blamed gas prices on Putin. And Americans didn't buy it. It didn't poll well. All the liberals blamed the gas prices on Putin, and Americans didn't buy it. So after about 7 or 8 days of that, they switched this weekend. They've called it now, they're calling this profiteering. They're blaming it on the energy companies, the oil companies. This is Exxon's fault. This is Chevron. They always raise prices. Literally, they're saying this. It's profiteering. They'll just raise the prices. They're taking advantage of all of us. They do this all the time. And people are like, no, they don't do this all the time. It's never been like this. They're making a mistake. Bouncing to a new target is a mistake. If the liberals want to do this properly, there's only one course of action for them. The proper way for them, quite simply, is just keep blaming everything on Putin between now and November. Because if they just keep pounding that and the war keeps going, there are all kinds of Americans that will buy into that. And they won't remember that a lot of the bad stuff started before the war. All people remember is the war's been going on for 7 months, and that's all they know. Blaming Putin is a bad idea. Trying to blame oil companies for gas prices is stupid on their part. I hope they keep it up, and when that doesn't work, they move on to something else. Because I'm scared to death of their blaming Putin. And we got to love Hollywood celebrities. There's a list out at Fox News. It's tremendous. Of celebrities that have photographs and have had meetings with Vladimir Putin and become friends of Putin. We will go down this list pretty quickly here. Leonardo DiCaprio met with Vladimir Putin and became friends with him because he was he's a tiger conservationist. Save the tigers. Yeah, Leo looks pretty stupid now. You went and met with Putin to save tigers' lives, and they're killing human beings in Ukraine. You look like a fool. Mickey Rourke, the actor, did a museum tour with Vladimir Putin, a history buff. Mickey Rourke did the museum tour and glad-handed with Vladimir Putin. He looks silly for that. Oliver Stone has met with Putin several times. And as recently as February, he said there the United States, because everything in the United States is just one conspiracy after another, the United States has no proof that Putin will be aggressive or invade Ukraine. A week later, Putin invaded Ukraine. Oliver Stone looks stupid. Gerard Depardieu, the French actor, became a Russian citizen and said upon becoming a citizen of Russia, quote, I love your president. It met with Vladimir Putin. Steven Seagal was hosted by Vladimir Putin. So many times, in fact, he decided to become a Russian citizen, saying, I wanted to be a citizen in a country with, quote, one of the world's greatest living leaders, unquote. Sir Paul McCartney sat down with Putin before a concert in Red Square. They took photographs, hobnob, celebrity sighting. It was all good. That doesn't look very good for Paul McCartney right now. So what did he do when the war started? He sent out on social media a picture of himself in Kiev at a concert. Okay, Paul. Nice work. We see your Putin photograph. And Jane Fonda said she was disappointed she doesn't have a picture with Putin, but her and her husband, Ted Turner, that Putin was, quote, this guy was our tour guide, unquote, around St. Petersburg and all of the Russian history. She tells a story that Vladimir Putin got in the car and said, sorry, I'm late. My wife is ill. We had to take her to the hospital. And Ted Turner said, you should go to the hospital and be with your wife. He says, nah, this is a lot better. I'll be with you guys. Let's go look at all of our history. Putin's such a great guy. His wife's off sick in the hospital, and he's running around with Jane Fonda and Ted Turner showing him history in Russia. They all look stupid. All those people look incredibly stupid. All right, there you have it. There's podcast number one for this week. It's going to be a fun week. We got spring training baseball. We've got the March Madness ramping up. There has not been a lot of real news on the war front, and a lot of the news in America has just kind of shut down. We're going to target this week some of these school boards in Missouri and the elections there. We're going to be getting on those. So we're happy to be doing that. And we're also happy to have Ron Buck on as a sponsor. Ron, you're the best. We appreciate you greatly, folks. That website is rbuckroofing.com. You should get your free inspection right now this spring from Buck Roofing, and you'll sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof. Tell your friends about KKHI and hit that like or follow button, and remind everybody that Kevin Keatsman has issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.